Of course, this Tuesday is the official election day. It's been a prolonged process this year. Wondering, too, if this is going to be the new norm, but another talk for another time. But anyway, if you're deciding who to vote for in any or many of the races, well, there is a voter's guide that's always available to you and is nothing but reliable. And that is the Bible. As we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17, we read, "You shall not show partiality in judgment. You shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid in any man's presence, for the judgment is God's. The case that is too hard for you, bring to me, and I will hear it." We turn to our voter's guide once again, known as the Bible, to help you decide on what to look for in a candidate if you're on the fence or can't decide in any particular race. For this, we go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." But when it comes time to decide who to vote for, you're confronted by the superficial versus substance. Spend time on the substance, on the plans, priorities, the goals of a candidate at every part of the ballot, instead of the foolish things that they say or others claim about them. You probably notice I haven't done anything about Hunter Biden here on Issues and Ideas, just as an example. Very little on our Facebook page. That's because, personally, I believe Joe Biden served up Hunter as a distraction. Well, you don't think so? Tell me when you heard Joe Biden give his long-promised answer about court packing, as an example. Like I said, distraction. Now, has President Trump served the nation effectively? Has he addressed your concerns, your priorities successfully? Well, that's for you to decide, because I do not endorse candidates, and I believe anyone on a platform like this who does is arrogant and dismissive, insulting of you. They're claiming that they know more than you, they're smarter than you, so just shut up and vote who they tell you to vote for. Instead, I'd like to leave you with this. First, if you haven't already, Tuesday, go vote. We turn to our voter's guide, the Bible. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. "These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren." And I also like to leave you with this, the words of President Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
On the eve of our struggle for independence, a man who might have been one of the greatest among the founding fathers, Dr. Joseph Warren, president of the Massachusetts Congress, said to his fellow Americans, "Our country is in danger, but not to be despaired of. On you depend the fortunes of America. You are to decide the important question upon which rests the happiness and the liberty of millions yet unborn. Act worthy of yourselves." Well, I believe we, the Americans of today, are ready to act worthy of ourselves. Ready to do what must be done to ensure happiness and liberty for ourselves, our children, and our children's children. From time to time, we've been tempted to believe that society has become too complex to be managed by self-rule, that government by an elite group is superior to government for, by, and of the people. We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around. And this makes us special among the nations of the earth. Our government has no power except that granted it by the people. It is made up of men and women who raise our food, patrol our streets, man our mines and factories, teach our children, keep our homes, and heal us when we're sick. Professionals, industrialists, shopkeepers, clerks, cabbies, and truck drivers. They are, in short, we the people. Their patriotism is quiet but deep. Their values sustain our national life. With the idealism and fair play which are the core of our system and our strength, we can have a strong and prosperous America at peace with itself and the world. So with all the creative energy at our command, let us begin an era of national renewal. Let us renew our determination, our courage, and our strength. And let us renew our faith and our hope. It is time for us to realize that we're too great a nation to limit ourselves to small dreams. We will again be the exemplar of freedom and a beacon of hope for those who do not now have freedom. We are a nation under God, and I believe God intended for us to be free.